Well, among others who've been following the trial closely is, of course, members of Tarek Mahana's family. And joining us now is his brother, Tamer Mahana. And Tamer, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Can you describe your brother for those of us who don't know him?
My brother, he and I were both born and raised here in the United States. We're American Muslims. We were born in Pittsburgh. Lived in Virginia, Tennessee, and grew up most of our lives in Massachusetts, in Sudbury, Mass. Grew up fairly run-of-the-mill lives, just like any other teens here in America. Same interests, drawing, rock and roll music, things like that.
And what do you make of the charges your brother's facing right now?
Well, they're absurd. They're absurd not only because he did nothing wrong, but they're absurd because we live in the United States, and there is such a thing as the Constitution and the First Amendment.
Well, we heard David Boeri describing some of the government's case, this idea of providing material support for terrorists because of some of the translation work that he did. First of all, a really basic question, which is probably not germane to the case, but let me just ask you this. Does he believe in the aims of al-Qaeda, for example?
I don't know what per se, like the discrete beliefs of al-Qaeda are, but I could tell you what my brother believes, and this is what came out in court today, is that it's not okay to just, terrorism is not okay. You know, while he's critical of American foreign policy, he's very critical of it, in fact. At the same time, he doesn't see that as carte blanche to say that, you know, Muslims in the name of jihad, which is a tenet of our faith, albeit a misinterpreted one in American culture, it doesn't make it okay to carry out this indiscriminate jihad. You know, jihad is something defensive, and my brother was very articulate about it. You know, it's concerning that the prosecution was how non-transparent they've been in that, because what they'll do is they'll present the jury with all these statements that my brother translated. He did not speak these statements. He translated them that contain terminology like jihad, but ominously they'll omit these lengthy statements that he's made.
So in other words, you're saying that the prosecution is presenting these statements out of context.
Not only that they're presenting statements out of context, but they're even omitting these lengthy statements where he where he shares his view that it's not okay to harm innocent people. And
well,
he was very articulate about it.
Well, let me ask you about that. So he said that it's not okay to support terrorism or harm innocent people. Then why would he translate and post a text like 39 ways to serve and participate in jihad?
Simple.
Okay, tell me.
My brother's always been a very academic type, very scholarly. And, you know, part of that is to have a clear understanding of things. You know, here in the United States, Islam is not clearly understood. There are strong biases, especially with the ultimate buzzword, which is jihad. You know, and, you know, jihad is, regardless of how, you know, like Americans may feel about it, jihad is a tenet of Islam. But what Americans need to know is that jihad is not, you know, it's not this indiscriminate, fanatical act that it's been presented to them as. And the book that my brother translated, which I might add was one of many, many books that he translated about a broad variety of topics, this book presented jihad in an objective fashion. Mm. And part of my brother's reason for translating the text was so that not only converts to Islam could be able to understand this controversial concept better, but non-Muslims, Americans, would be able to do so.
But he has also expressed, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, even his own lawyer has called some of what he said crude, crass, and stupid. He still has a right to say it, according to the lawyer. But, for instance, I mean, he's expressed admiration for Osama bin Laden. Why would he make such statements?
Well, again, I think that rather than the why of why he would do that, I think it's sufficient to say that it is protected speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's not illegal for him to do so, and there are many different individuals with different perspectives on different topics, many of which are offensive, and those like this one are protected.
So a lot of focus has been on the speech, and for good reason. But as you know, a cooperating witness in this case alleges that your brother and another man, Ahmad Abu Samra, traveled to Yemen to seek terrorist training. The witness said they were unsuccessful. What do you know, if anything, about that trip? Because that seems to move beyond just speech.
Well, I think that it's very curious that the prosecution or the government immediately assumed and alleged that he went there for terrorist training, when in fact there was no evidence that such camps existed there at the time. As Jay Carney, Tariq's attorney, pointed out in court, what Yemen is known for is as a center of learning about Islamic jurisprudence, about Islamic law, which my brother was extremely, extremely interested in.
So he went there for sort of personal enlightenment and education.
Yes, and he was clear about that view with the FBI and with his attorneys. And again, there's no evidence that there were any such camps there. And in fact, when his attorneys brought that up in the courtroom, it became evident that the prosecution had not done their homework on that beforehand. And when they went back and they checked, they found that, yes, in fact, there was no evidence that such camps existed.
Tomber, why do you think your brother is being prosecuted?
My brother is being prosecuted because he refused to become an informant. He refused. Between 2004 and 2008, the FBI had my brother under surveillance, and they interrogated him several times. You see, my brother, he's a very active member of the local Islamic community, especially in Worcester. And he has the trust and respect and admiration of a lot of people. It makes him the ideal informant because people trust him. So it will be easy for him to infiltrate different groups and carry out activities that, you know, I mean, the FBI's informant program has, you know, for some time now, it's been documented as being one that was carried out with abuses of power, you know, irresponsibly. And my brother didn't want to be a part of that, and he consistently refused to be a part of that for upwards of 4 years. And during those four years, we never heard anything about these charges. Nothing.
Well, Tomber Mahana, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Tomber Mahana. He's the brother of Tariq Mahana, who was charged with conspiracy to provide material support to terrorists. Thanks again for coming in today.
Thank you.
After the break, we'll continue our conversation about the Tariq Mahana case and the questions it raises about for the First Amendment and national security. Is making a translation tantamount to supporting terrorism? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.